woman. And we have to understand that as young people and as even sometimes as grown-ups, that we may not listen to the instructions, the warnings we have. And we may not listen for a number of reasons. One is we may not listen, especially if you're young, because you tend to be naive. You tend to think, well, you know, that happens someplace else, so that danger is not pertaining to me. Or young people tend to think that they are more immortal, that you know, I am almost indestructible. Maybe sometimes the attitude of a young person. And they may think that mom and dad just worry too much. They're just concerned about too many things is going on. And parents, as parents, we have great responsibilities. We have responsibility to feed our children, to clothe our children. But not only that, but also to discipline them, to be psychiatrists to them, to be a sociologist with them. And so we have a lot of different roles we have as parents, as comforters. And a lot of times we may be concerned about things and really not understand what the true danger of our families are. I was thinking about a few weeks ago that one of our politicians made a comment about people her generation, a little bit younger, said that she would advise them not to have children. And the reason she was saying that is because she was looking at climate change, about the problems of our environment, what's going to happen. And so she would simply say that she would not advise anybody to have children today. Well, a couple of days later, I was listening to one of the talk shows. It was actually a segment of one of the talk shows. But somebody else there, and they were talking about, again, their peers, basically the same age group as this other woman. And she said that many of her peers were elected not to have children because of the problems, again, that we are facing as parents. And as I heard about that, I thought, you know, the fact is that I don't know of a generation that has not been concerned about their children. I think you look around, you realize that each generation has had different challenges, and each generation has been concerned about what their children are going to face. That you look here and you realize, now, the job of parenting has changed. For instance, in times past, when you talk about concerns of parents, that many of the concerns of parents would be things such as, let's say, of illness. That, in fact, at one time, there's out there in Antioch, the cemetery out there, there are six tombstones. And those six tombstones represent six babies that were born. And those were born in my great-grandfather's family. And what they had was every other child had passed away. Each child, the next one would die within the first year. And their concerns were things such as illness, and that they have pneumonias, and they had other kind of illnesses that they just weren't equipped to handle that time period. So there have been generations worried about various illnesses that in the 50s, the 40s, 50s, that polio was something that this country is concerned about because there was a mass epidemic of polio, and you have phrases used such as iron lung, where people couldn't breathe for themselves, so they had to have this machine to actually breathe for them. And so they were concerned about that. A generation maybe before that, in fact, had worried about physical needs. When my parents growing up, that they, at the time of the Great Depression, and I dare say their mom and dad, so they worried about how they were going to feed their children, how they were going to have any clothes for their children, how they were going to have a house for their children. Now today we may have concerns. We may sometimes look at the high cost of grocery bills, but we still can feed our children. We may see the clothes they're wearing out and say, we got to buy new clothes, but we can still go out there and buy those clothes. But there was a generation that literally, that they didn't know how it was going to provide for children one day to the next. There may be some other issues that some of them have faced, things such as the nuclear war back in the 60s and 70s. The Cold War was going on, so they were concerned about things along that lines. Now, there may be others that worried about terrorism today and those kind of issues. But basically, those were the concerns of parents back then. However, as far as in their own neighborhoods, their neighborhoods were considered safe. That where they grew up, where the children grew up, that they trust their neighbors. And again, crime was low, that often children are allowed to go outside and play by themselves. I kind of find it, I'm not sure if amusing is the right word, but every now and then there'll be some kind of news report of a parent maybe being arrested because they actually allowed their children to go to a park and without any parental supervision. Well, we did that all the time. growing up, and I grew up in a rough part of the town up there in Louisville, in the West End. I mean, we would go to the neighborhood park, we played by ourselves, and nobody thought anything about that. We were allowed to go out and to be in local parks, like you said, play basketball, do other things, and nobody thought anything about it. And again, the reason is because we consider those, our parents consider those areas safe. And not only that, but also if you did something, parents and neighborhood kind of watch out for each other's children. It may not exactly been it takes a village time mentality, but it was mentality that if you saw somebody's child do something wrong, then you stopped them. And you went and you told mom and dad what that child's doing, and mom and dad would take care of the problem of that child. Today that's kind of different, isn't it? When I was talking down in Florida a couple of years ago, I was talking to actually my barber. At that time, just cut my hair, but he was talking about when he grew up and he played some football. And he said one football game, they did something wrong, and the coach met him on the sideline actually before he got off the field. And so the coach was getting all over him because he'd done something he shouldn't have done. And when he got home, his dad was at the game. When he got home, his dad told his mom to go on the house. And so when he got out, just him and his dad by himself, the dad said, "What'd you do?" And he told his dad what he did. And he said, "You listen to your coach and you do exactly what your coach said to do. I don't want to see that ever again." And he said, "Today, if a coach does that to a child, nowadays you have to deal with the parent. The parent is mad at the coach, not the child, because of what the child is doing." And that just shows the different mentality that we have today in our society and as parents. So, and the child parenting has changed. Now today, when we think about what issues we face and what we're looking at, we realize that there are things such as parents are afraid to leave the children at home alone. They don't know what's going to happen. That we hear all kinds of accounts that happen at home with children by themselves. And part of that reason, because at one time, children weren't home by themselves. There was always somebody there with them. But today, that's no longer true. Another issue is things such as maybe sending to a neighborhood store. Again, when I was growing up there in the West End, and I don't know how old it was, but my mom or somebody needed something for the store, a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk, they would send me to Curtis's Market down on 30th and or 28th and Duncan Street. And we'd go and get something and come back. Nobody ever thought anything about that. And today, you're afraid to do that because you don't know what's going to happen with your children out there by themselves. And maybe other things such as a plain neighborhood can be dangerous. There are neighborhoods, there are drive-by shootings in neighborhoods. We don't know who everybody is like you used to. And so you can be concerned about your children's safety if you just send them out there to play by themselves. And so these are some things that worry parents. And a lot of it is the fact that parents are not there to supervise their children. In fact, parents are simply a lot of times AWOL in a lot of situations when you get right down to it. And so we look at issues today and dangers today. We would say, if I would ask you, to the average parent, what are some issues they think about? What are some things you worry about today? And I dare say probably some of them would say things like, well, kidnappings, sexual assault that we read about in the newspaper, or murder, other kind of things along that lines. And it's easy to be concerned about those things because we have this news media. We have access to social media. We hear all kinds of accounts of things happening to children. And these are old examples, but Danielle Van Dam was a young girl, young lady, about 10, 11 years old, taken from her house in Florida, and her body is found a few days later. We have a person, Elizabeth Smart. Now, this is really getting back there a number of years, but in Utah. Again, she was kidnapped and eventually resurfaced again, but she had been drugged and sexually abused during this time period. And other cases, maybe of girls being kidnapped, and there's more modern examples we give today. But these are the things that are not, well, we can't say, well, we never hear these things happening. We do hear about them happening. And so there'll be some events we look at, so well, that's, you know, we're concerned about children because of these things. And so as parents, then we have to say, then what is it then we can do as far as protecting our children, helping our children? And there may be some things that parents will say, for instance, that some will say, well, you know, we just got to isolate our children. Don't let them be around anybody. Don't let them ever do anything. don't let them go anyplace. And there may be some that kind of takes that position. That's not really practical, but there may be some that have that idea. Others may have the idea, we're just going to worry about everything. That we worry about our children and we get become paranoid about them. The reading in Numbers, the 14th chapter earlier, when the children of Israel were told to go and take the land of Canaan, that one of the reasons they gave for not wanting to go in the land of Canaan was because our women, our wives, and our children will be killed. They were worried about the wrong things. Their emphasis was in the wrong area. And we have to realize that worry about itself doesn't really help a whole lot. And the other may be simply pretend these things don't happen. Okay, those are three ideas that sometimes we may come up with. But I want to submit to you some things here. And one is that parents, we have to understand the facts as far as how often these things happen and where they happen at. They help us understand what to do about them. And so these are numbers they came up with, and some of these are a little bit dated because they're hard to find current numbers on some of these events. But for instance, in 1999, there were 1,800 children that were killed in that year. Okay, now I acknowledge and I will agree that if that's one of your children, that's too many. If that's one of your children, that is your family and that is the world to you and that is heartbreak. But 1,800 children killed in 1999. Now that rate actually declined and has declined until the year 2006. And so it actually went down from that point where to 2006. Now at 2006, what happened is that number has leveled off. It has stayed pretty much the same. So it has increased, it has just leveled off. Now again, I understand that's tragic. I'm not trying to minimize that. But that's what those numbers say to us. Another thing is that small towns, rural areas have always had a low rate of children being killed or being abused. Again, not saying never happens. But what I'm saying is most places are relatively safe. And most small towns are relatively safe places. The rural areas are safe places to have your children, bring them up. And in fact, 85% of all U.S. counties did not have a single homicide in 1999. Now, again, I couldn't find any current date, any current numbers here. But I don't know if that's really changed that much. As far as places that are safe, most places people live at are relatively safe places to have families, to have children. Now, there are places, I agree, that are dangerous. But again, these kind of numbers say something to us as far as where we're growing, rearing our children at. Children under 4 years of age count for 75% of all sexual child abuse deaths. So most of them are young children, are really young children that happens to. And only that, but also, there'll be a few more facts to give to you, if I haven't given you enough already. One, stranger abductions are rare. There's a reason why usually if a child disappears, that they start the family. And most of them are parents abducting their own children. Divorce cases, those kind of situations right there. And so, stranger abductions, that's 115 stranger abductions 2013. That's a fairly current number. Again, and so that amounts to, then when you look at the next number, 57% of child abduction murders are by strangers. So that means about 60 of those 115 that if they're killed, it's going to be by a stranger. Now again, parents generally don't do that to the children. Generally, although again, I know just the other day there was a whole news article about a parent that did kidnap his children and kill them. And so sometimes happens. But again, the majority of the time are stranger abductions when children or lives are in danger. And a third of all abductions occur within half block of the child's home. Again, most of the time because that's the parents. One of them stealing their own child or abducting their own child. And so those numbers kind of tell me something. That is that it's in our neighborhoods. And usually bad things happen in the sense of in families. And that's where a lot of the danger is. So as parents, here's some things that we can do and to help our children. One is teach your children, don't go any place by yourself. Now, that's not a new message at all. In fact, I know that our parents, that when we went someplace, that they always wanted to know who we were going with and how many was going with us. And especially if you're a young lady, you need somebody to be around you. And so make sure that you're not by yourself. In fact, the Bible points that out to us in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For the fall walleth of his companion. But woe to him who is lonely and falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And one part of that there, notice there, if one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. That again, the rate of bad things happen actually decline if you have somebody else with you. Just one other person. That makes you a safer person. And so teach your children, don't go any place by themselves. Another thing is teach them that strangers, that danger strangers can present. Now sometimes with our children, we want them to be friendly people. You know, we want them to know somebody, maybe somebody we know, but they don't know. And so when if they act as if they're a little bit scared, then we may be a little bit embarrassed and we may say, well, you know, this, and go ahead and try again, be friendly with this person. But children, the strangers are a danger to them. And so understand that that can be good because they understand the fact that this person here, they don't know them and they don't know what that person is going to be like. And there's a good element there that maybe they're reading something in that person you don't see. And so the danger strangers can present is something that you have to teach them. And finally, trust your fear instinct. If you think something's wrong, if you're afraid of a certain place, don't go there. Don't go with that person. I remember one occasion, and this was when I was a young boy, and we lived near the railroad tracks, and there was a booth up there at the bridge, and I don't know, I guess one day my aunt decided to take me up there, and there was a guy there, it was a booth that controlled the lines, what it did. And he was going to show me inside, he was going to show me the booth. And I remember being scared and running back to my aunt and just running back home. Now, as an adult, I look at that and think, you know, I wish I'd stayed there and got to see all that. But another part of me said, you know, I didn't trust that situation and you know, I'm not ashamed of saying I ran. And so sometimes you just trust your instincts, and if something seems scary to you, then get out of that situation. Lock the doors. Now, these are all public service announcements, aren't they? These are things that we just heard before. Lock the doors, and so somebody just can't walk in. Now, here's some facts we have to face as parents. One is that random acts of violence can and do occur. Bad things do happen. And sometimes there are, as I said before, random acts of violence. And again, Ecclesiastes point that out to us in 9 chapter 4 verse 11. As I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not the swift, nor the battle the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to son, men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but one time and chance happened to them all. For a man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So sons of men are snared in the evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. And usually think about this again in the sense of adults and accidents or tragedies happening to us. But sometimes that happens also to young people. Maybe the unexpected illness, maybe the accident, maybe again being in the wrong place, wrong time, and being shot. Those things can and do happen. They're at random acts of violence. Another fact we have to understand, as our parents, we have to act by faith. And that is, we can't stop every bad thing that ever happened in this world. And we're not going to be able to stop every bad thing from happening with our children either. But, as Matthew 6 verse 34 says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As a parent, do your best, but also trust in God. Pray to God to help you as parents do the right thing. Pray that He'll watch after your children. And just realize a lot of things that people worry about never happen. Now, most people don't have drive-by shootings. Most people don't have a child abduction. And so act by faith. That God's going to help you and help your children. And so the last part of the lesson Okay, then what is one of the dangers? Then I just kind of talked about things to not worry about or things that we ought to get distracted by and don't pay attention to things we should. And so let me tell you, this is kind of like the doorway to all the other bad things. And that is, one danger is simply negligent parenting. Now, if you stop thinking about it, that presents the greatest danger that really your children face of parents that are simply not doing their job. And that is a child abuse. We read about most child abuse cases involve parents or involve somebody inside the family. In fact, 80% of all child abuse cases are by either a parent or a caregiver. And I can give you personal examples of people I know that had their siblings that were abused by a family member. And mom or dad had no idea what was going on until later on. And so child abuse cases often happen because the parents are just not aware. Maybe they're not there. Maybe they don't talk to children as they should. But child abuse cases, the case of not providing love and instruction. Have you known of parents that are just really not in tune with their children? The children really don't have priority with them. They don't really, again, do what their children need inside the home. I have. I dare say you have also. That we think about not being aware of the dangers. And not really understanding the dangers our children are facing. Again, that goes to communication. A thing that they're not facing anything, well, a lot of times they are. And we just don't know about it. We're not talking to them so as to be aware of what they're facing. And so we look at these things here. Maybe parenting using drugs. Again, this is simply negligent parenting, dangers they present to our children. The parents using drugs or maybe parents without natural affection. Again, kind of going back to love and instruction there. But just really not caring for the children as it should be. Selfish parenting. And so all of these are the dangers children really do face. And so look at these things and say, okay, now what is it we can do then? Well, one is, Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, fathers, not provoke the children of wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And that is, you have to be a part of your children's life to do that. The other day, I was down in Bowling Green doing some work at my McDonald's office. And as I was doing there, I looked at one point there. It was getting towards lunchtime. There was a guy and his daughter kind of facing me at the next table. And I don't know. She is this pretty blonde-haired girl, maybe between the ages of 2 and 4. You know, just a young child. And dad was there and I had a Happy Meal there. And he's talking to her and she's eating her Happy Meal. And as I was getting ready to leave, I just commend him. I said, be a hands-on dad. Never quit being a hands-on dad. And that's one thing I will tell any young man having a child is make sure you are a hands-on dad. I've talked to your child. I've spent time with them. I've nurtured them. I've bring them up in love. That's one of the best things you'll ever do for your child. But it doesn't matter how much you can provide them financially. What's going to matter in the long run is what you provide for them emotionally and physically in the sense of what they need. And so bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Another thing you can do is what Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says. Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourself. Watch what you're doing, in other words. Make sure you're doing the right thing. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. In other words, don't forget it. And teach them to your children and to your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord with your heart in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, as he said, I want you to remember me, but I want you to pass on. I want you to teach your children about me and what you know from me. As parents, again, teach your children about God. Instruct them. And that is pointed out also in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And he goes on, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, And so talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. He shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. He shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, God and the Bible is not just for Sunday school class. It is for everyday living. And something that you need to be instructing and expressing to your children. We really didn't have too many passages on the refrigerator. But I noticed here one time visiting our daughters when they were down Bone Green that on their mirror they had written various verses of the Bible. And I like that. Write some verses down and stick them on the refrigerator. Write them down, stick them on the mirror. Or at least talk to them about them to your children. I'll end this by saying that parenting is a hands-on job. That you have to be involved if you're going to be a good parent. And so make sure you don't say, I'm going to be a good parent. I'm going to be involved with my children and have patience. Because you're going to need it. There are times that you will find yourself frustrated. But again, your children are relying upon you. And if you're a good parent, you're providing your child with the greatest advantage you can of being that. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. I said this is the first lesson. We're going to have a few more on some things that our children are, not just children, by the way, but also our families. There's a reason why this is called dangers our families are facing. As our invitation, go ahead and open up your songbook. And that songbook is 325. Is that the right number? 325 there. That somebody found this on a tombstone. And these were the words written. Pause now, stranger, as you pass by. As you now are, so was once I. As I now am, you soon will be. And so prepare to follow me. And then somebody had written on the tombstone their reply to this. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. And there's a lot of truth to that, and that is we need to be following the right person, but only if they take us to where we want to go. And where you want to go is heaven. As parents, we need to be living life so that if our children follow our example and follow the Bible, that as we follow it, that they'll be going in the right direction. What we know, though, is that if we follow after Christ, we'll be following the right direction. We'll be going to the right place. And so this morning we have the song of encouragement, I am resolved. And that is, I am determined to do what God says, no longer to linger, no longer to wait, but no longer to procrastinate, but to do today what needs to be done. If that describes you in your place of your life before God, either obeying the gospel of Christ, being baptized for remission of sins, or maybe your life is simply not right with God and you need our prayers. And we're here to do that for one another. Won't you let us know, stand as we sing.